All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we would ask you, Lord, to remove anything that might be distracting our time spent in your word this morning. Whatever obstacles may be presenting in themselves here today, Lord. Maybe issues already this morning that we had to go through. Or, Lord, I would just say anything that's distracting our time here for this next half hour or so, we just remove it. Lay it at the cross. And if we want to, we're certainly willing to pick it back up and take it home with us. But Lord, I would suggest we leave it. Anything that could be distracting us, Lord, just remove it right now. We ask you to open up our ears, our hearts, our minds, so we can be receptive to your word. And I would ask you, Father, to use me as your vessel. Use me today, Lord, as an instrument, and you be the musician. And you play me, Lord, that I'm able to bring the message in such a way that people be able to understand it. In your awesome name we pray these things, and all of God's children said, amen. Amen. I've entitled this message to you today, Faith That Moves Mountains. Faith That Moves Mountains. Now, I would be willing to bet that a lot of you have faith in some things. Anybody have faith in some things? I have faith in some things, but I'm not going to move mountains with the faith that I have in those same things. For example, I have faith that it's going to be nighttime tonight, morning tomorrow. Anybody believe that too? I have a faith that's probably going to happen. But that's not going to change my life. That's not going to change my life. I have faith in knowing that my name is Tom. But that's not going to change my life. So I put a lot of faith in a lot of things that don't change my life. Let me tell you some things you put your faith in every single day. But yet, it hasn't changed your life. And you never even thought about it. How many ever flew in a plane? Let me tell you about the faith you put in that system. Do you know that you put faith in the mechanic that worked on that plane? Did you ever think about that? You probably didn't. What if you had a bad day? What if you had a bad day and forgot to put the bolt in the right place? Do you know that you put your faith in the people that put fuel in that plane? Don't you? You put faith in the pilot on that plane. You put your faith in the co-pilot. Now, I understand what you're going to say to me. You're going to say to me, well, Pastor Tom, if it's your day, it's your day. How many ever believe that? If it's your day, it's your day. Well, that's pretty cool. But what if it's the pilot's day and you happen to be on the plane? I'm just asking. What if it's the pilot's day and you're on the plane? How many know you're going by default, right? How many ever rode in a bus? Did you know that you are putting your faith in the driver of that bus? Aren't you? How many have ever driven a car and you're stopped at a red light and the red light turns green and you go right through the intersection? How many do that? How many know you're putting faith in everybody coming in the opposite directions? Aren't you? You're putting your faith in the people coming in the opposite directions. You clearly know that when that light turned green, you really don't often pay attention who's coming. You just what? Go. And you are putting your life in the hands of people who aren't text messaging, they're not on a cell phone, they're paying attention, and you don't even think about it, do you? You don't even think about it. How many's ever got a prescription filled? How many took that prescription home and took the pill? Do you know you're putting your faith in the pharmacist who filled that prescription? How many's ever got a wrong prescription even one time? So it happens. I have. It happens, doesn't it? How many's ever been in a hospital? How many know you're putting your faith in the RN who's bringing you the meds? And you don't even think about it. You don't even consider it because it's blind faith. How many's ever eaten at a restaurant? Now, I have friends and family who, you know, who serve people and cook for people. You know, you put a lot of faith in those people. Don't you?
Don't say what I'm going to say next.
What?
Don't say
anything more? Well, let me just tell you, when you send something back, be kind. When you send something back, it's better to be kind. Because it's going to come back. That's all I'm going to say to you. It's going to come back. And so we put a lot of faith in a lot of things that you do not even consider doing, but yet you still do it. You do it. I was riding down Lincoln Avenue about 2 years ago. And there in Lincoln Avenue in Bellevue, It says, stop for pedestrians. How many's ever seen a sign like that? It's a state law, stop for pedestrians, right?
Right.
And I was watching this little old lady, man, she didn't even pay attention. Left her, she just walked out into that intersection. She put her faith in what? People are going to what? Stop. How many have ever heard of issues where they didn't stop?
Yeah.
And so you stop to think about who and what have you already put your faith in? What have you done? And when you blindly put your faith in these things or these people, have you moved the mountains because of it? No. You haven't. And so today, I want to talk to you about faith. Faith that can move mountains. How many have mountains in your life? We all have mountains of some kind. So I'm going to talk to you today about faith that can move mountains. Okay? So let's turn in our scriptures, please. And we're going to read Matthew 17, 20. So everybody turn in your Bibles to Matthew 17, 20. Now, if you don't have God's Word with you today, we have God's Word up there. And for our visitors here today, let me explain to you what we do. We ask you to turn to it, and we put it up on the slide, and then Sue's going to read it. Now, the reason why she's reading it is because this message is being recorded. And we want the people who are listening to it, they may be in their car, to be able to hear God's Word.
So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you.
Wow. Isn't that something? If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, and Sissy was explaining to the children, wow, big as a mustard seed. It's so small. In fact, as I have a framed mustard seed, and I should have brought it. It is so small. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Who will move the mountain? Ah. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there. Who has to say it?
You.
You. You. You see, that's the missing parameter. So many people, you know, think of God will know the mountain, he'll move it. You have to be in coordination with the Lord. You have to say it. And the only way you're going to say it is you have to realize what? That you got one. And then you have to realize you want it out of your life. So many people just don't get it. How many have mountains in their life? And what you have to say to the Lord is, Lord, not only can I say, but I know it will be done. I can say it, and it will be what? Done. So where do you get this faith? Where do you find, where do you acquire this mustard seed faith? Where do you get it? Do you get it by listening to the preacher? No, you don't get it from me. You don't get mustard seed faith from me. You get it by being in God's Word. You get it by being in God's Word and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where you get it. You can't get it by a pastor. How many know, don't find faith in a pastor, right? You may have instructions how to put cyanide in Kool-Aid or something. Don't try to get faith from a pastor. So where do you get this? You get the faith by studying God's Word. You get the faith by getting to know Jesus Christ. You need to understand that in order to get this faith, you have to be in God's Word. And the Lord God, who calls you to a task, will provide the power and the courage and the strength and the wisdom to get the job done. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. Can you grasp a hold of that truth? God doesn't wait until you're all equipped to call you. He calls you and then what? He equips you. Because see, if it was the other way around, you'd have a ton of excuses. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. There's no way I can perform that. There's no way I can do that because I'm just so not equipped. And so the question will be, well, when will you get equipped? And then you're going to say to me, well, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I'm too busy, I'm too old, I'm not learning enough. That's what you're going to say to me. And let me tell you something, church. Let me tell you something boldly. I want to say something to you boldly this morning. And I really, truly hope I don't offend anybody. But in case I do, I don't care. From the deepest bowels of my heart, I don't really care. Because sometimes God's word cuts you to the quick.
Yes.
How many know it's like a two-edged sword, right?
Amen.
A two-edged sword. There are brothers and sisters who I know that have been taught and taught and taught and taught. Preached to and preached to and preached to. It's time that the preaching stops and the activity begins.
Amen.
It is time for some people in this church and outside this church to stand up and say, you know what? I've been taught enough. It's now time for me to step up.
Yes.
How many understand that? That's the truth. It's the truth. How much equipping do you need to do to call somebody on the phone and say, hey, I haven't seen you. Can I pray with you? How much equipping do you need? How much equipping do you really need to come to the free market and hang some clothes on a hanger? How much equipping do you need to come here and help Mark cook some food for the light of life? You don't need more equipping, do you? You need more doing. You need more what? Doing. You need more doing. And in the doing, guess what happens? You get more equipped.
Amen.
It's opposite. You don't get equipped and then you do the doing. You do the doing and then you get equipped. God does not always call the equipped, but He always equips what? The called. Let's turn to Hebrews 11:6.
But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Ooh, check it out. So with mustard seed faith, you can move mountains. But without faith, what can you do? Nothing. Nothing. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. Hey, you can come up here and be a virtuoso at the keyboard and play an unbelievable song. Does that please the Lord if you don't have faith? Nope. It does not. Without mustard seed faith, it is impossible to please Him. Not my words, but whose?
His.
But with mustard seed faith, what can you do? Say to the mountain, move, and what shall it do? We shall move. I wonder truly here today, church. I really truly wonder here today. How much of us, or how many of us in this church today, have more faith in the world than you do in the Lord? And that's you may think that that's a really stupid question, but I mean, is it really so stupid? See, because you're going to tell me you don't see the Lord, but you see the world, right? Isn't it easier to have faith in things seen than in unseen?
Yes.
How many say it's easier? Isn't it easier to have faith in what you see than in what you do not see? But let me tell you something. I told you, you all put your faith in things you never saw. How many believe man walked on the moon? How many were there? Other than Alice Crampton. Now, how many's old enough to know what I just said? Alice Crampton, right? And what rocket ship did she take to the moon?
Yeah.
One of these days, Alice. Oh, one of these days. Boom! Now, other than Alice Crampton, you believe, right? You do really believe. You really truly believe that man... Who believes man walked on the moon? I know that you really truly believe it. But how many believe Godzilla walked on the earth too? How many know they can make anything look real, can't they? You know that when you go to the movies, you know it's not real, but how many are just scared right out of your socks? It's kind of like the commercial with Peyton Manning. He's, don't open the cellar door. Oh! So all of us put faith in things we've never seen, but yet you think it's to be true. And I wonder today, I really truly wonder, how many of us put our faith in the world instead of faith in God's Word? Truly now. I wonder how many of us have put our faith in what the world says and not in what God's Word says. Let me give you an example. The world says that in order for a business to be prosperous, it must be open how many days a week?
Seven.
That's what the world says. That's what the world says. Right? I even asked Sissy this morning, I said, you know, I got to stop at a Christian bookstore. She said, well, they're open today. I went, then the Christian bookstore is open on Sunday. Okay. So the world says, in order to be prosperous, the business must be open, what? 7 days a week. But God's Word says, let's go to Exodus 20, verses 9 to 10.
6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates.
That's God's Word. That's God's Word. Now the reason why businesses are open 7 days a week is because why? Because we, what?
Go
there. That's why. The reason why they are prosperous on 7 days a week is because people are going in the doors on the 7 days a week principle. How many know that is absolutely true? It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Chick-fil-A has got it right. Chick-fil-A has got it what? Right. Do you know the fastest growing food chain is who? Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. How much money do you think it would take? And anybody knows the answer, don't shout it out. How much money do you think it would take to open up a Chick-fil-A franchise? Oh my God, right? Oh my God. How much you think? Don't you? Nobody say.
$50,000.
How many say higher than $50,000 to own a Chick-fil-A franchise? Okay? More than 50? More than 100,000 for you to get involved? More? Are you ready? $10,000. $10,000. The only thing that you must be? How many know they got it right? They got it right. Chick-fil-A. Got it right. And so do you believe in the world's wisdom or God's wisdom? Do you believe in what the world says or do you believe in what God says? Let me give you another one to think about. Think about another. The world says, and my son Jesse just kind of told me this on the way up to church today. Jesse kind of, you know, it was kind of ironic that he said this to me. The world says, don't give 10% of your finances to the church. They're supposed to be what? Giving it to you. So the world says, 10%. Don't give 10%. Don't give 10% to the church. That's what the world says. How many know that is what the world says, right? The world will say, well, that's Old Testament stuff. But what does God's Word say? What does God's Word say? Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. This is what God's Word says.
Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it.
What? God's word says this. God's word says, look what God's word says. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me on this. He said, go ahead. Try me on this. You see what I do. Try me on this. You give me your tithe, and I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out on you so many blessings, your house can't keep it.
Amen.
That's what God's word says. That's not what I say. That's not what elders say. It's not what the financial secretary says. It's not what the treasurer says. It's what God says. It's what God says. And people who practice God's word, those people that really truly pass, you know, they really, really pay attention to God's word, they're blessed.
Amen.
They're blessed. But do you want to believe what the world says? Or believe what God says? And the truth of the matter is, our faith is more in what we have in our pockets than what He has in the heaven storehouse. I mean, that's absolutely true. It's true. We have more faith in what we know is in our checking account than with the blessing He has in His storehouse. How many of you in this room have raised up some kids? How many remember trying to sit at a kitchen table? Now, let's be honest, okay? You sat at the kitchen table and you're going, how am I going to do this? Who's ever been in that situation? How am I going to be able to get the food and buy the school shoes and pay the rent and the gas bill? How many's ever been in that situation? And how many really truly have sat in that situation and said, I don't know how. This is not possible. I mean, it's not possible. But how many did it?
Yeah.
Well, how could you do the impossible? If it was impossible for you, it was not impossible for Him. And you did it. You did it. Somehow you did it. Didn't you?
With the faith of God, yes.
Sure. How much ever got a check in the mail you didn't expect? Got a check in the mail you didn't expect. How many ever got a phone call from a utility company saying, hey, we owe you money? How many ever got a check from the IRS say, whoa, you paid us too much? Right? Now how many know that's impossible? That is impossible. That's impossible. But it happens every single time. Are you saying to me, I can't afford to give? Are you saying to me, I don't have enough? Church, it's all His.
Amen. That's right.
It's all His. We're not giving Him something that's not His. It's not, it's His. It all belongs to God. I need you to turn to your Bibles, please, to Matthew 6, 14 to 15. The world says, when someone hurts you, keep score. The world says, when somebody does something to you, you do something what?
Back.
That's what the world says. The world says, get even. That's what the world says. God's word says to what? Forgive them.
For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Is that fair?
Yep.
Yep. Say it again.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. But the world says, but you don't understand what they did to me. That's what the world says. The world says, but Pastor, you don't understand what they said about me. You don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand. Well, maybe I don't understand your situation, but I sure know mine. I sure know mine. And nobody can tell me that you cannot forgive somebody the trespasses for something so egregious. Nobody can tell me that when I forgave the guy that killed my son. Don't tell me you can't. But you need, if you're going to tell me the truth, you don't say, I can't. You have to say, I won't. At least be honest with yourself. At least be honest with yourself. It's not an issue of I can't, because you can, because Jesus said you can do what? All things. So don't tell me you can't. Just tell me that you won't. At least we'll be truthful. How many understand what I just told you? At least you'll be truth. That'll be truth. Because you can. You just what? Won't. Somebody once said, when I found out that the key to the prison door was forgiveness, and I opened up the door, I found out that the prisoner was me.
Right.
That's worth repeating.
Repeat.
When I found out that the key to the prison door was forgiveness, and I opened it, I found out that the prisoner was who?
Me.
Me. How many are in prison because you can't forgive somebody? How many locked yourselves up and threw away the key? And every day you live in that prison cell. Not because you can't, but because what? You won't. You won't. You don't know what they said. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they've been to me. You don't know how any pastor, you don't know anything. Well, maybe I don't, but he does. Quit worrying about it. Leave it up to God. Let God take care of the situation. And so you have these immovable mountains. You have these things that are obstacles in your path. I talked about that last week. You have these issues that are always, always in front of you. You bump up against it and you can't go around it. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. When God called you to move a mountain, He's going to give you the task and He's going to give you the equipment to do it. He's going to equip you to do it. Turn in your Bibles, please. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12.
So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.
God says to Moses, Moses, I want you to go talk to the people. And Moses starts with all the excuses. Right? He starts with all the excuses. How many of you knew that Moses was a stutterer? He stuttered. And that was a very good thing for Moses, because he was going to use that as an excuse. I stutter. I do not speak eloquently. And the Lord God says, hey, you go. Guess what? I'll speak. You go, I'll speak. God is never... Why would God call you to a task that He will not equip you to do? And then you go do the task and God says, hey, you're on your own, friend. Hey, go do it. You go do it. And so you go bebopping on down through the world doing something God did not equip you to do. And you say, well, God told me to do it, but I don't know what I'm doing. And so you fall flat on your face. Does God get glory that way?
No.
God doesn't get glory that way, does He? Why would God send you to do something He's not going to equip you to do? Why would the Lord send any of us to go do anything for Him that He does not equip us to do or give us the strength to do it? Does that glorify Him?
No.
It does not. It does not. But when God calls you to do something for which you feel that you can't and He equips you to do it, who gets the glory now? He does. He does. I thought maybe 10 years ago that I'm trying to figure out how to save time in my busy life. This is before I rethought things after the surgery. I'm going to be slowing down now, be a delegator. But I thought I could figure out a way to save myself some time. And I started writing down an excuse book. And I was going to pass it out to a bunch of people and say, look, when I ask you to do something, save me time, just give me a number. And what I mean by that was this. Instead of like a paragraph long I have to listen to, you'd be able to, because you have the book, right? And I got my book. I say, hey, you want to go feed the homeless? You go, two. And I go, okay, thanks. I knew what two meant because I have my book. If I say to you, hey, I need you guys to, come on down to the free market and help us out a little bit. And you say, four. I go, okay, fine. You see how much time that would save me? Wouldn't that save me like a whole bunch of time? Instead of me saying, well, will you want to help? Well, no, Pastor, you know, I really want to help, but you know, I'm kind of busy that day because I'm helping everybody move in the whole township or move township or whatever. And so you just give me a number. And that would save me time. How many have a book of numbers already? You know you have it, don't you? You know you have the book. You know you have the book. And the question that has to be asked ourselves, if God is going to be with Moses, would he be with you? Read that again, Sue.
So he said, I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.
Wow. So God said, I will certainly be with you. I'm going to tell you a story. This is a true story. But, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, I suppose, maybe or so. 15 years ago or so. I used to, you know, I was trained in such a manner. I was trained in seminary to do a 20-minute worship service. And I know how to do it. I know exactly how to do it. Because what you have to do is you have to type on a computer one whole side of a paper, one whole side of the back of the paper, and one whole side of the front of another paper. If you do that, single spaced, 20 minutes. Okay? And I know how to do it. I know how to put down my opening statements. I know how to put down my opening remarks. I know how to put down the meat I want you to get. I know my closing remarks. The sending forth, I know how to do it. Know how to do it. And so, years ago, like 15 years ago or so, that's what I did. Written out, you know, word by word. And I would read it. Read it, read it, read it. 20 minutes, everybody's happy camper. Happy camper. And one day I was coming down from Cranberry Township. My wife and I used to live in Cranberry Township. And I had prepared my message. Front, back, front, had it all done. I'm driving down the road on 79, and the Lord God says, I don't want you to bring that message. But I have it already typed up. It's already prepared. The Lord God said, but that's not what I want you to say. I don't want you to do that message. I have a reason I need you to do this message. How many know that can scare you? To stand up here and just talk. And so when driving down, the Lord God says, well, I want you to talk about this particular topic. Particular topic. And it was talking about an issue of living together before you're married. That was the topic. Mm-hmm. And it was working on me in the car, right? I'm going, but Lord, I don't have it typed up. I didn't do my research. I don't know what I'm going to say. God said, but I know what to say. I know what to say. You just show up. You show up. You stand there. I'll speak. What? So I hurry up in the church and I go upstairs. I say, Lord, what passage of scripture? He gave me the passage of scripture. I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? I'm trying to write down notes. He said, you don't need the notes. You stand there. I'll speak. You stand there. I'll speak for you. Okay. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it. And I came out into the church for the service. I have nothing in my hand. I have a passage of scripture. That's all I got. First time in my life that the way I did it, nothing was typed out. It's just like I'm doing with you now. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, you want me to talk about this? You want to talk about this? And I don't know if I talk about that. I'm looking out in the church and I see a couple and I went, of all the days, Lord, you want me to do this? There's a couple. Of all the days you want me to do this, it's today, Lord. Today's the day. And I look around the pulpit and she going, and I look around and she goes, and I got up in the pulpit of the church, just my passage of scripture, like I'm doing to you now. And I brought this message about you know what is right and you know what is wrong. How many know what is right and what is wrong? How many do not need to be told? You just won't, right? It's just a won't. It's a won't thing. It's not a do thing. It's a won't thing. How many are honest with me? How many are big enough in your faith to say to me, yeah, it's just I choose. I just choose it. Not that I know. I don't need to know. I know. I just choose it, right? How many would say that's true? Yeah. Right. So I bring this message and they go out the side door. I'm like, oh, no, I can't believe this. So I got a phone call from that couple. The following week, they wanted to have a meeting with me. And I thought, oh, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. I bet you do. I know. Oh, I write down my apologies, you know. And I go, and I meet this couple. And they said to me, about that message that you got. Oh, yeah, I know. We want to talk about that message. And, no. Let me talk, Pastor. He did the talking. He said, you know, you're right. You're right. And I want to do the right thing. So, Pastor, could you marry us in 2 weeks? We don't need a wedding. We need to get it right. How many know God's in charge? God's in charge.
Yeah.
And so when he says to Moses, you go, I'll speak. And when you start saying to me, I'm not equipped. Guess what? You're right. And you should praise him. That's a good thing. Because when you go and say you're equipped, it's now about who? You. When you feel inadequate, God is going to do a work in your life. When you are weak, he is strong.
Amen.
It's the truth. It's the truth. And so when you feel inadequate, you're on the right page. When you say, I can't do this, God says, now we're talking. Because I can. And I cannot do it through you if you think you know everything. Because you'll be correcting me, and that's not a good thing. Don't ever edit God's word. That's not a good thing. I will certainly be with you. How many believe that statement?
Amen.
I will be with you. Don't give me all the reasons why you can't. I'm going to be there with you, and I can. What are those things he's calling you to do? Maybe it's a big project you're working on. You don't think you can. Maybe for some of you, it's leaving your comfort zones. Stepping out in faith. Maybe it's a let go of something that you're hanging on to and you don't need it. Maybe it's starting a new ministry. Maybe whatever you're thinking about is impossible for you. You don't think it's possible. Let me explain something to you. God majors in impossible. He majors in it. Bring him all of your impossibles and see what he can do with them. You bring him and see what he can do with them. You bring him all those things that you cannot do and see what God does for you. Scripture says, if God is for you, who can be against you? How many know God's for you? Who's got God on your side in this room? Really, truly, who's got God on your side? If God is for you, who's going to be against you? Who? Name me one person that's going to be against you if God is for you. Oh, they may say things about you. Will they prosper? No way. There's just no way. Let's turn to Philippians 4:13.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Anybody believe that yet? Who believes that in this room? When you are incapable, guess what, church? He is capable. When you are weak, guess what? He is strong. When you don't know, he does know. When you are powerless, he's all powerful. And when you don't have an answer, church, guess what? He does. Last week I told you, if you don't think right, guess what? You won't live right. If you do not think right, guess what? You won't live right. If you live according to the world's values, you will be worldly. If you do what the world tells you to do, you may be popular with them. If you go where they go and sit where they sit and do what they do, they'll call you a friend. But you know what? I don't care about that anymore. I'm too old for that. I want to be called blessed. I want to be called righteous in His eyes. And I want to be called a son of God. That's what I want. How many want that too?
Amen.
I've learned that in my 64 years of life. I've learned, don't store up your treasures on earth. Store them up in heaven. Store them up in heaven. So from this day forward, if you have mountains in your life, you know why you have them still? Because you haven't done anything about it. You can say all you want, I'm going to do it. One of these days I'm going to do it. I'm going to get around to it. Hey, when I was in college, a professor of philosophy gave me a little round disc, wooden disc, and it had the word T-U-I-T on it. T-U-I-T. It was a little round disc. I think I still have it at home. A little round wooden disc had the word T-U-I-T. And he said, well, now this is for all of you that say I'm going to get around to it. Now you got it. So put the round to it in your pocket and get to it. I can do all things. I want you to point to yourself and say, I can do all things. One more time, point to yourself and say that. I can do all things. Who has to do it? You do. Some of you will go from this place today and right smack dab right into your mountain. You'll hear these words and do what? Nothing. Nothing. And next week you'll come and you'll have your mountain. Some of you will. But some of you will get a shovel out and God's word for the instructions to start moving mountains. Some of you will do that. Some of you won't. Some of you will. But I can tell you this. I can tell you this. With God's word and Jesus Christ in your life, there's nothing you cannot do.
Amen.
Nothing that you cannot do. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hearing of these words. Lord, we need to hear these words today, not in the left and not out the right. We do not need to hear these words and be thinking about who else they were for. We don't need today, Lord, to hear these words and thinking about the person behind me. Oh, he's talking to him. No, we're talking to you. We're talking to every man and woman in this church. We're talking to you. Go from this place making a difference. God's word does not come back void. Heavenly Father, I would ask you, Lord, to equip us for those ministries you've called us to do. Heavenly Father, help us to know if we have faith but the size of a mustard seed, our life will be different. Father God, we've been preached to, taught, spoken to, sang songs enough. It's time now to do something. As Elder Bob had said in our annual meeting, do something. We'll do something with mustard seed faith and see. The Lord God says, try me on this. You try me on this and you see what I'm capable of. Praise God. Praise God for the mighty blessings that flow. And all of God's children said,